I'd invite you to turn with me as we turn back to Acts. I'm trying to finish Acts by the time we get to at least Christmas. I was hoping maybe to do this before Advent even. We'll see. But we're in chapter 20. I've skipped, if those of you are noticing, I've skipped about a chapter. And moving into chapter 20, skipping up into the seventh verse, we find this, very interesting, almost, it's got a bit of comedy in it, doesn't it, as you'll see here. He says, now this is Luke writing in the first person, I hope you take note, because he says, on the first day of the week, we came together to break bread. This would have been then Sunday, the first day of the week. Paul spoke to the people. And because he intended to leave the next day, that would have been Monday, kept on talking until midnight. There were many lamps in the upstairs room where they were meeting, where we were meeting. Seated in a window was a young man named Eutychus, who was sinking into a deep sleep as Paul talked on and on. When he was sound asleep, he fell to the ground from the third story and was picked up dead. Other translations, I'll just take note, say as if dead. Paul went down, threw himself on the young man and put his arms around him. "Don't be alarmed," he said. "He's alive." Then he went upstairs again and broke bread and ate. After talking until daylight, he left. The people took the young man home alive and were greatly comforted. Here is the reading then of God's holy word for us this morning. Thanks be to God. How to be remembered is what I thought in reading this. You know, there's different ways to be remembered. Some are heroic. Some are hilarious. I don't know what some of my teachers, if they even remember me at all. But I had a small, it's called a seminar course. It was about, I think there were six people in this class for learning Greek when I was at Lehigh. And I can't tell you how many times I fell asleep in that class, right next to my professor. It's a curse of mine. And I read this incident in Eutychus's life and have often thought of this. Eutychus, by the way, it was a common slave name. So he was likely a slave. And it translates as lucky. So there's like certainly a double meaning to this, isn't there? Falling out of third story. Now, their stories weren't like our stories today. Third story wouldn't have been way, way high. But it was high enough. I've fallen out of a tree stand before hunting and actually have broken my back. So it, I'm sure, hurt poor Eutychus. In fact, I fell out of that tree stand because I fell asleep. So everybody thought he was killed by the fall. He was knocked clean out. I gotta say, I wasn't knocked out. It hurt so much when I hit the ground. There was no way I was falling asleep. I had to discharge my flintlock and use it as a crutch just to get out of the woods. And I baby-stepped the entire way. Eutychus is lying there on the ground. You can just picture him. This is such a graphic account that Luke gives us. And the previous section, you know, he's more or less giving a travelogue, just like what you might almost imagine would be conveyed in the Iliad and the Odyssey. The town, Troas, in which they were, it says there in the verse before that they had traveled from Philippi to Troas. Troas was the Troy of the Iliad and Odyssey. And so it was here in Troy, which is the very city upon which the ancient poems, the Iliad and the Odyssey, travel stories themselves were based. And we find then that there's this little account of Eutychus, lucky, falling out of the window as Paul, what, spoke on and on. We get an insight here into what early worship in the church is like. I'll just try and sum that up briefly. Worship was on, first of all, by this time even, the first day of the week. The Jewish Sabbath, of course, is the Saturday. But because Jesus rose, as the Scriptures, the Gospels tell us, on that first day of the week, early in the morning, Christians, even now, were worshiping on the first day of the week, Sundays, as we do. Worship, secondly, was in the evening. Some think also it could have been in the morning as well as the evening, early in the morning as well as the evening, but this was a work day for most. And so as they gathered together, it had to be in the eventide so that the work was done. And Eutychus, being a slave, had put in his hours, you can be sure, and so was tired to begin with. I think this is an interesting remark for us to think about, because it tells us, you know, I've often heard people complaining about the sports, kids' sports in the morning, taking up our morning worship. But you see how the early church adapted to the hours of labor so that they were meeting here in the evening to worship. We've got to be adaptable, even today. If it's better to worship in the evening, we should worship in the evening, perhaps, right? Whatever is necessary to do for us to reach people for Christ, isn't it worth it to do? Thirdly, an integral part of worship involved what's called here the breaking of bread. Now, this is likely, in particular, meaning what we today call Holy Communion, or it was the Lord's Supper, you know, the recognition of what Jesus did on the night in which he was betrayed, as we celebrate at the beginning of each month, the Lord's Supper, and then at other special times. But here, apparently, they did it nearly every time they got together to worship, celebrated the Lord's Supper and the breaking of bread and the sharing of the cup. But it also was more than that in the early church. It was actually a meal with which their worship would begin. Paul actually has to correct the early church, because remember, he says in 1 Corinthians in particular, some of you are eating so much and others are going away hungry. That's not good, he tells the Corinthians. He says at this point, let each one eat at home what they need to do. And that way your brother who can't have as much to eat, your sister who cannot, won't be ashamed by their lack of food. You know, we call a potluck dinner, or what else is a potluck called? Help me out here.
That's it.
Some call it the third sacrament, especially among Methodists, that, you know, there's always enough to share. You guys always come through with more, enough to take home again. And so no one's going away hungry, I'll guarantee it. But it's a great way to fellowship together. Someone said to me after the reception for the baptism last week, was saying, we should do this. Well, the idea was like all the time. And I kind of said, well, we tried that, and I just can't get, there's not enough volunteers for it. And they said right away, well, maybe we can do it once a month. And I said, great idea. Would you take charge of this? So I've tried and it hasn't worked. Maybe it will with this person taking the spearhead. But I think it'd be great to have fellowship time after worship. What a way of welcoming, especially new people, into the fold of our congregation. So having eaten, after a full day's labor, with the heat of all the lamps that were there in the upper room, with Paul trying to relate as much as he could those parting words, he's about to leave, so he had a lot on his mind. He's trying to just unload it. And also, you know, in the early church's worship, just like we began worship with sharing testimony, that was an integral part of the early church's worship. Sharing testimony. That was an integral part of Methodist worship. In our tradition, at least. A question and answer, sort of. You ever hear of preachers who have like a question and answer period where they'll just, what about, what do you guys have on your mind? Let's try. Maybe we should try that. Now, I might get stumped, I'll freely admit, but that'd be a good thing, wouldn't it? I think that'd be fun, have a Q&A. But so anyhow, the early church's worship was a lot like that too. Paul was answering questions as well as simply expositing, if you will. And here then, lucky Eutychus falls asleep so soundly he falls out of the window. And Paul rushes downstairs and finds out that he's not dead. He's alive. I don't know if he broke his back too, but he's alive. What a way to make a name for yourself. I mean, we know this one guy is never mentioned again by this incident. I've always liked this story. Because it reminds me that, first of all, God's with us all the time. And we're frail. We fall asleep. We need sleep. And things sometimes just go wrong. But God is ever present, how's the hymn going in our times of need? Hebrews tells us that for a fact. That God supplies grace when we need grace. And it tells me also that this is how the church should be. The church should be as caring as our God is caring. The church should be as loving as our God is loving. You know, as we've been forgiven, so we should forgive. And recognizing that we all come here together some way or other, frail and foible people. We should love one another with those frailties and foibles, just as our Heavenly Father does. Forgiving as we've been forgiven. Loving as we've been loved. Helping, encouraging, exhorting. That's the church at its best, isn't it? Heavenly Father, we thank you that this story of Eutychus, what happened to him, has been recorded for us forever to learn from. And we thank you even more that you love us as we are. Sleepy? Or alert? Just as we are. And help us to love one another just as we are. In Jesus' name, amen.